This is the Look Ahead with Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, Scott Seidenberg here with you. It is the Look Ahead on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Monday Night Football concluded Week 12 in the NFL with the Washington football team defeating the Seahawks 17-15. And yes, Washington still in control of their path to the NFC East title. More on that game in a few minutes. But first, we have to talk about the big news of the day, and that is the coaching carousel in college football. Lincoln Riley out at Oklahoma. He is your new head coach at USC. And Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame to take the job at LSU. And the Irish are still in the mix for a spot in the college football playoff. This is massive news with huge implications when it comes to the college football playoff. I don't think that the committee will hold it against Notre Dame, the fact that they'll be without their head coach. The Irish, their resume is over. They're 11-1, and when the playoff rankings are released on Tuesday night, it will look something like this. Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Cincinnati 3, Alabama 4, Oklahoma State 5, Notre Dame 6. At 6, Notre Dame needs help to get in. But I can see that help happening. Georgia beats Alabama. Alabama's out. If Baylor beats Oklahoma State, Oklahoma State is out. Now you need a fourth team, and that fourth team is Notre Dame. I still think Iowa can legitimately beat Michigan. I think Houston could beat Cincinnati. Anything can happen when it comes to the championship games here, but Notre Dame still has a good shot to get into the college football playoff should something unfold ahead of them, like a team losing in addition to Alabama losing to Georgia. Currently, their odds to win the national title are plus 2,500. I hate that now without Brian Kelly. Marcus Freeman will likely take over in the interim should they get to the college football playoff. The committee's not going to punish them, though. The committee did not punish Ohio State when JT Barrett went down and Cardale Jones had to take over. The committee will not punish Notre Dame for not having Brian Kelly. They're going to look at Notre Dame, look at their resume, and rank them accordingly. And where I think that ranks them is at 6. I think Oklahoma State will leapfrog them to be the fifth team. So yes, they need help. But who else are you putting into the college football playoff if some losses happen? Let's assume Georgia beats Alabama. We knock them out. And then one of the two loses between, one of the three loses, let's just say, Oklahoma State, Michigan, and Cincinnati. If any of them lose, Notre Dame's getting in. The reason why I don't like Notre Dame at plus 2,500 has just nothing to do with the coaching situation. It just has to do with the fact that they'll match up against Georgia if they do get in at number 4. Now, if they don't match up against Georgia and there's a chance that total chaos happens and they can get in earlier than being number 4, then okay. But if they played against Georgia, they're a 17 to 20 point underdog. I don't like that at all. And then without Brian Kelly, no, we're not pulling an upset, not winning that game. So I think that this doesn't affect Notre Dame's chances to get into the college football playoff, but it affects their chances to win in the college football playoff. So I would stay away from Notre Dame futures. The other thing, and it concerns me, or it doesn't concern me, it actually puts a smile on my face because I'm betting the other side anyway. Cincinnati has to face Houston on Saturday in their toughest test of the season. They're 10.5-point favorites. I am on Houston. But now with this Notre Dame job open, the name that everybody is talking about is Luke Fickell. And will that cause a little bit of distraction for Cincinnati dealing with this? For the players dealing with it? For Luke Fickell dealing with it? Notre Dame is one of the most coveted jobs in all of college football. And to say you're not interested in hearing the offer is just absurd. Of course you're interested. And so Luke Fickell is trying to prepare his team for their toughest battle to date. A trip to the college football playoff on the line. Yet you have Notre Dame ringing up your agent, and you have your agent ringing you up every single day. And I'm sure the conversations have already begun. And there'll probably be an offer on the table already. And these things tend to happen very quickly. Earlier on ESPN, it was Lincoln Riley was on with Scott Van Pelt. And Lincoln Riley said that he first talked with USC early Sunday morning. He said that he didn't talk to them and had no conversations prior to Sunday morning. But I don't believe that, because he also made a comment, if you watch the video, he said, we had a conversation late that night. But what does late at night mean when you just said you didn't, the first time you talked was Sunday morning? Late that night means maybe Saturday night. I don't believe Lincoln Riley that there was no conversations prior to his season ending with the Sooners. I think the reason why the Sooners offense did not look like itself the last three games of the season, starting with the Baylor game, which coincidentally came after a bye. You have a week off. Maybe you're having conversations with your agent. Maybe the idea is starting to float out there. The USC job is there. We know the LSU job's there, but maybe you're interested in that as well. Hey, let's try and pin them against each other. Let's see what we can come up with. Oh, yes, by the way, we have Baylor next week. Okay, you lose to Baylor. All right, Iowa State, you win that game, and then you lose to Oklahoma State. And the offense looked completely different. The play calling was just poor as well. You'll never be able to convince me that there wasn't something going on there and Lincoln Riley wasn't preoccupied with all of the discussions ongoing, maybe with LSU and USC at the same time, because his team's performance reflected it. With the possibility, well, not the possibility, the expected outcome here is of this Brian Kelly, the expected fallout is Notre Dame calling up Luke Fickell. I think it could lead to a possible down performance from the Bearcats. If maybe Fickell's not 100%, which he should be, this is his chance to go to the college football playoff, but he could be a little bit distracted. Money, job opportunity. This is career. You know, there's a lot here. There's a lot. It's only human nature to be enticed, to be a little distracted, to have some things going, you know, some thoughts rolling through the back of your head, and to then continue to do your job at an elite level. It would be difficult for anybody to handle. I'm very curious to see how this all unfolds and to see how Cincinnati looks on Saturday against Houston. Now, I'm already betting the Cougars. And I am going to sprinkle a little bit on the money line for Houston because I think they can pull the upset. But you're not going to be able to convince me that if Cincinnati does have a poor performance, that it's not because Luke Fickle has been dealing with the whole coaching situation this week. Some would say it's bad timing. Some will say it's in poor taste, right? Notre Dame has a chance to go to the college football playoff. Brian Kelly could have easily stuck around, coached them in the playoffs if they get in, and then taken a job elsewhere. But you know what? This is one of the other marquee jobs in the nation, the SEC. It's LSU. They don't wait for you. You say no, they go to their next choice. So you take the job right away. You're Notre Dame. You call up Luke Fickle. He wants you to wait. You say, no thanks, calling somebody else up. So Luke Fickle, if he wants that job, and who wouldn't want that job? All the resources they have there? Man, you got to jump at the opportunity, even if it means bailing on your team as they're about to go to the college football playoff. So don't like Cincinnati at plus 1,600. Don't like Notre Dame at plus 2,500. And I love Houston plus the 10.5. And I love Houston at the money line sprinkle of plus 340. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's the Look Ahead here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Look Ahead on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This segment of the Look Ahead is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, a fresh way to enjoy nicotine without all the baggage of cigarettes, dip, or vape. No more smelling like an ashtray, no more spit cups, and no batteries to charge or leaky equipment to deal with. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, and available in 10 varieties like spearmint, wintergreen, citrus, and many more. And for your convenience, each variety comes in 2 strengths so you can easily find the satisfaction level that's perfect for you. Zyn, America's number one nicotine pouch, is available in over 100,000 locations nationwide, meaning it's never been easier to find your Zyn. So head on over to Zyn.com/find to locate a store near you. That's Zyn.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It is the Look Ahead here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The other major sports story of the day was the hot stove in Major League Baseball. Players signing with new franchises. Robbie Ray, American League Cy Young Award winner, going to the Mariners. Corey Seager goes to the Rangers on a massive 10-year, $325 million contract. But the biggest of them all, Max Scherzer to the New York Mets for a big, big deal. Max Scherzer gets a boatload of money from the New York Mets in a deal that gives him an average annual value of $43.3 million, more than 20% higher than the previous record set by Gerrit Cole with the New York Yankees. He'll be 37 years old next year, and he's the highest paid pitcher in baseball. And now you have Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom, if healthy, in the same rotation. The Mets' odds to win the World Series have significantly decreased. They are now plus 1,300 to win the World Series. To win the National League, the Mets are your third favorite behind the Dodgers and the Braves. The Mets are plus 600 to win the National League, plus 1,300 to win the World Series. Hard to argue when you have a rotation of Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer 1-2. And good luck. That's better than what the Dodgers had last year with Scherzer going into that rotation with Walker Buehler, with Clayton Kershaw, if healthy. You know, that's better DeGrom is the best pitcher on the planet. And Scherzer teaming up with him is just on a whole nother level. I agree with the odds decreasing. What I don't agree with is placing a bet on the Mets. I don't know. Well, no one knows. Health is obviously something that you can't predict. But what you do know is that you have Jacob DeGrom coming off an injury. You have Max Scherzer at 37 years old coming off of, you know, dead arm in the postseason. And I don't know. There's been a little history of this with the New York Mets. But if he stays healthy, if DeGrom stays healthy, that is a dangerous 1-2. And if the Mets, with their new owner, Steve Cohen, start spending more and more money, well, yeah, they could find a way to buy themselves a division championship. I mean, look at what the Dodgers have done. The Dodgers had a massive payroll. And finally, for the New York Mets fans, that's exactly what's happening with their team, is that their owner, they have an owner that is going to spend money now after years of the Wilpons not spending. It's a breath of fresh air for Mets fans. And the Mets could possibly be a team to bet on this year. Would I take a flyer on them at plus 1,300 to win the World Series? Maybe not. I think I'd rather do the plus 600 to win the National League. But the other thing that has to concern you is that the World Series champs, who are in your division, are right there with you in terms of the odds to win the National League. They're the second favorite. So the Mets are going to have to deal with the Braves all season long. And they'll deal with the Marlins, they'll deal with the Nationals and the Phillies, and but the Mets will have a really good shot with a lineup that is going to feature a really good, a couple of good additions. So this is what you're looking at here after the Mets get Starling Marte, Mark Canna, and Eduardo Escobar. You have a lineup that could look like this. Starling Marte leading off, Brandon Nimmo batting second, Francisco Lindor at third, Pete Alonso batting fourth, possibly Robinson Cano coming back from injury, Mark Canna, Eduardo Escobar, and James McCann with J.D. Davis, Jeff McNeil, and Dominic Smith as your reserves. And now you have a rotation with Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom. I think that it could be worth a flyer to win the National League at plus 600. Certainly, once the Major League Baseball hot stove season calms down and we get into spring training next season, you'll see the odds to win the division. We'll see win totals, and that's where we'll take a deeper dive into this Mets team as a team that could possibly go over their win total, or if the win total is inflated because of the addition of Scherzer, then you'd take a look at the under on their win total if it's too inflated. All that stuff is going to come down the line. Don't have to worry about that right now. I just do think it's interesting to take a look at their futures, which have gone down significantly with the with this move, plus 600 now to win the National League, plus 1,300 to win the World Series. And the Dodgers, they're at plus 600 to win the World Series as your favorite. Should they be the favorite? You know, Seager's gone now, and they're certainly going to have some changeover, but they're still the Dodgers. Still have a boatload of talent on that team. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. We'll talk more about Major League Baseball futures a little bit later on in the program as Jason Weingarten will join the show. Wide World of Weingarten is the podcast. You can check that out on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts from. And we'll talk about what he thinks about the Mets' futures at 13-1 to win the World Series, 6-1 to win the National League. Let's get back into the NFL here, where the Washington football team beat the Seahawks 17-15 to improve to 5-6. And I talked about Washington yesterday, speaking of futures, because taking a look at their schedule, everything is ahead of them in terms of their path to win the NFC East. They were plus 1,400 coming into the day. After this win, they're down to plus 1,200. Cowboys are still minus 1,000, but Mike McCarthy's dealing with COVID and will not coach the team on Thursday against the Saints. The spread has already gone down to 4.5. Let's say the Cowboys lose that game. Well, now you're talking about Dallas falling to 7-5. And if Washington beats the Raiders, you're talking about a Washington team that is one game back of the Cowboys at 6-6. But the point that I made yesterday about Washington is that they play the Cowboys twice for the remainder of the season. They also play the Eagles twice out of their remaining games, which means that they are in control of the NFC East. Two wins against the Cowboys and two wins against the Eagles, and the Washington football team is going to win the NFC East. At plus 1,400, I thought it was incredible value. And now, at plus 1,200, I still think there's value, but it certainly is decreasing. And if the Cowboys lose on Thursday Night Football, combined with a Washington win on Sunday, those odds will go down even further. So if you like it, you take the value at plus 1,200 now, because it won't be here much longer. Coming up next, we'll talk more about the NFL. Our very own Mike Pritchard, host of Betting Across America, former NFL wide receiver, will join me as I'll ask him who's playing better football right now than the Green Bay Packers. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is The Look Ahead here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is The Look Ahead on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Cyber Monday offer is here. Right now, when you sign up for our $99 midseason football special, you'll also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, this is a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe. Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It's The Look Ahead on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, joined now by our very own host of Betting Across America, former NFL wide receiver Mike Pritchard. And Pritch, before you came on, I was talking about the Washington football team and why I think at plus 1,200 to win the NFC East, they're an attractive bet because they play the Cowboys twice, they play the Eagles twice, they win those games, they're winning the NFC East. The question I'll ask you, can they win those football games, though?
You know what? This year is a definition of any given Sunday. It really is. I think the AFC is so wide open, right, Scott?
And, yep.
It's hard to put my mind on the fact that the Washington football team could beat those teams, but I think they can. I am a Heineke fan. He's got some gunslinger in him. And he's got a guy that wants to win, and he wants to be good. He wants to be great. He wants this moment. And I think he's got the ultimate mentor. I've been talking about this on Betting Across America, our show, during the week, that he's got the smartest man in football to mentor him. That's Fitzpatrick. And think about Fitzpatrick and his travels. He's a journeyman quarterback and what he's learned in the league. And then you have this guy who is raw can be, but yet, he's getting schooled. He's getting the nuances of the game, and you can see it, especially tonight. I saw a lot of nuances in the game for Heineke. And you got a lot of young players on that defense who wants to prove themselves too, and are getting better that way on that side of the ball as well.
Taking another step back here from this Monday night game. What have you noticed about the Seahawks this year as they have taken a major step backwards?
Yeah, it's the Super Bowl window's closed. I mean, it was a good run with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, but that they have to part ways. I don't think they can rebuild it again to where they had it when they were on that Super Bowl run, Super Bowl appearances, and winning a Super Bowl. It's just Russell thinks he knows too much, and certainly Pete has been in the league for a long time, and he's not going to change his ways either. So, to me, it'd be best for the Seattle Seahawks and for Russell to part ways, and hopefully that'll happen at the end of the year.
Who, in your opinion, is playing the best football right now?
I thought it was the Colts. Look, they lost two games, and those were overtime prior to playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I thought they were going to take it to Tampa Bay, and they did for the most part, but then, you know, Tampa Bay flexes their championship medal. The Patriots, you can't discount what they're doing, but I got to tell you, man, it's not popular, but this Aaron Rodgers thing and this Green Bay Packers football team, I mean, who's going to beat them right now? Seriously, they beat the Cardinals shorthanded. They beat the Rams like the Rams stole something from them. So it's like this Packers team, they're going to have a bye. And this last dance routine, this thing, man, it is for real, I believe.
Plus 750, you take a flyer on that?
Yeah, I would. I would.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm actually looking at MVP. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned this about Aaron Rodgers. I thought he took a massive PR hit, but his play on the field might resurrect that discussion again.
Yeah, plus 600 right now to win the MVP award. You mentioned that they beat up on the Rams. Would the Rams qualify to you, now that their odds are at plus 1,200, as a buy-low team? Like, could this be an opportunity to buy the dip? Like, if the Rams were a stock, right now they're as low as they've ever been, and considering the hype coming into the season and the talent on that team, would you consider buying the dip right now?
If I saw something different, what I'm seeing in a team that has not played together, I mean, think about it. Von Miller is a new addition. Odell Beckham Jr. is a new addition. Hell, Matthew Stafford is a new addition. And you got McVay that's trying to glue it all together. And they haven't been able to do that. You know, Woods going down was a big blow. And they got headliners. They do. I'm not going to lie about that. They got headliner players, but they're not that team that has kind of gone through it, that adversity and that clear leadership, right? It's like they're a collection of superstars that they're trying to figure it out. And I don't know outside of the dream team when that has really worked. You know, the last time they tried that in L.A., they tried it in basketball with Shaq and Karl Malone and all these stars, Gary Payton, and they didn't win a championship. So I don't know. I got to see some signs that the glue is starting to hold there in L.A. for the Rams.
Any interest in the Bengals plus 200 to win the AFC North?
Oh, man, maybe. Because when we talked about it, I think it was on Friday. They were like, what, plus 350 on Friday, right? Something like that. So, yeah, it's hard to fathom that they're 7-4 right now. But I'll give them a lot of credit. I'll give Zach a lot of credit, too, head coach. And this was a team that did not draft an offensive lineman. In the NFL draft, they drafted Ja'Marr Chase, which, okay, raised a lot of eyebrows, but it shows that they knew what they were doing, because they free agency and some of the other draft picks that they had, they felt pretty good and confident about that offensive line. And then Burrow, my goodness, off the injury that he had, the way that he's playing right now too. So you throw Mixon in the mix, they are a complete team, but it's also a team that has not been in this position before. I wonder how they'll handle it moving forward.
Looking ahead to week 13, they are 3-point favorites at home against the Chargers. I can't figure out the Chargers, Pritch. You know, one week, Justin Herbert looks like an MVP. He's throwing for 4 touchdowns, and the next week, they score 13 points, and they look terrible. So I can't figure out this Chargers team. It is a West Coast team traveling East Coast to play the early game, even though it hasn't really been a factor in recent times. But do the Bengals win this one at home, and do they cover?
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers, to me, are just going through growing pains of a first-time head coach that's trying to figure out a roster that he inherited when he became the head coach over there. Like, it's not like he's Jimmy Johnson and he's a first-time head coach in the National Football League or whatever, and he built a roster, right? I mean, it's Staley, and he's inheriting a quarterback, and he's got all this talent that's been, you know, with the Chargers for a while, and they got the buy-in, and that was a credit to him and his staff to get the buy-in from the players. But now, with injuries, a lack of depth, and you don't really know those second and third teamers like you might have got to know the first teamers, and with all the injuries, in particular on the offensive line, it's tough for the Chargers right now.
Sunday Night Football, the Broncos at the Chiefs. Kansas City coming off their bye. They're laying 10 at home. Mm. Are the Broncos the sharp side of this thing?
Let me ask you a question real quick. They flexed this game 6 days ago before the Chargers game.
What did they know?
Right. It's like, say Denver would have lost to the Chargers, but they had already flexed that game.
I know.
So, isn't that crazy to think about? Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but...
But there are people out there, French, that do believe in that.
That took some gumption for the National Football League. Yeah, let's flex that. Now, okay, they can excuse it away because it's Patrick Mahomes on Sunday Night Football. I get that. But, you know, look at the other schedule. I mean, you got some other teams they could have flexed here. But they did it. Denver's got a chance at first place in this one. I think Denver gives KC their best shot. And, I mean, getting inside of 10 points, that's something I'm attracted to right now. Even on it, I could even see a teaser situation with that one as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the public will be on Kansas City, but the smart ones will be on the Broncos. And then the game of the week is obviously Monday Night Football. And you couldn't have asked for a better Monday Night game this season. Patriots and the Bills. Talk to me about this game, Pritch. I mean, where are you leaning?
Hey, Scott, I tell you what, I'm curious about New England. Like, they're for real, but I want to know if they're for real for real.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, in the next 3 weeks, they got Buffalo, Indian, and Buffalo again. And so we're going to find out what this team's all about. I believe they're for real, though. I believe they're a contender in that division. And they're going to give Buffalo everything Buffalo can handle right now. Buffalo is one-dimensional, and that's going to be a detriment on this matchup for sure. Whereas New England, they run their entire offense. We saw that with McDaniels and his quarterback, Mac Jones. And so even with the defense playing very well, getting turnovers, that's going to be a tough out.
You know, if they gave awards for, like, the best offseason acquisition, I think Matthew Judon to the Patriots would win that award because he's had such an impact on that defense. It really has stood out. Hey, Pritch, I always appreciate the conversation. Thanks so much. Can't wait to do it again.
Sounds great, Scott. Have a great night, man.
There he is. Our very own Mike Pritchard, host of Betting Across America, former NFL wide receiver here joining me on the show. And, yeah, Judon's had an impact on that Patriots defense. The Pats are 5-0 on the road this season. Let's not forget that. But they have the NFL's longest win streak, 3-point dogs in Buffalo, Monday Night Football. That is going to be an attractive side to bet. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is The Look Ahead here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is The Look Ahead on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We have a new prop tracker now available on VSiN.com for you to keep up with key NFL props. Head to VSiN.com to get current odds as well as the movement each week to follow the trends and find the best value. Track the odds for MVP, head coach, rookie of the year, and more. Check out the prop tracker, betting splits, key trends, and matchup data for every game now at VSiN.com/NFL. And boy, did we miss the boat. We had an opportunity to possibly jump in on a Matt LaFleur Coach of the Year future. It was at plus 1,800. And now, if you go to the prop tracker on vsin.com, Matt LaFleur is your third favorite to win Coach of the Year at plus 600. Bill Belichick is your favorite at plus 300. Cliff Kingsbury next at plus 400. Matt LaFleur plus 600. Then Mike Vrabel plus 800 along with Zach Taylor at plus 800. It's like I should be placing these futures when I identify them. And I'm so mad that I didn't. But a couple of weeks ago, I said Bill Belichick plus 1,200. He's now the betting favorite. And then last week, I said Matt LaFleur plus 1,800. And now he's plus 1,600. Man, but look at this jump. I mean, it's still a possibility. There are people that could still win this award. But I think Matt LaFleur is going to win it and probably still has value at plus 600 because the Packers are just going to keep winning. I think the Packers are going to finish with the best record in the NFC, and the Packers will be the one seed in the NFC. For MVP, it's Tom Brady, your favorite, at plus 350, Josh Allen plus 450, then Aaron Rodgers plus 600. And hard to argue with that. With Aaron Rodgers, he did take a PR hit, of course, with that the COVID stuff, but the vaccine stuff, but his play on the field is putting him in the conversation for this award. Patrick Mahomes, if he continues to put up big numbers, he can get there. He's plus 1,000 right now, but I do believe it's Tom Brady's award to lose. Offensive Player of the Year, Cooper Kupp, plus 225. Jonathan Taylor, plus 225 as well. Deebo Samuel is plus 1,000. Defensive Player of the Year, Myles Garrett, plus 175. Trayvon Diggs is plus 700. T.J. Watt, plus 700. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Mac Jones, is now minus 300. Boy, the odds have changed over the weeks. He was at his high, plus 600 to win the award. Now he is minus 300. Ja'Marr Chase up to plus 225. And Jaylen Waddle has entered the conversation as well. Jaylen Waddle was plus 3,500 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's had a pretty good couple of weeks. Defensive Rookie of the Year, it's Micah Parsons' award to lose. He is at minus 500. Pat Surtain is at plus 750. And Comeback Player of the Year, Dak Prescott, minus 400. Joe Burrow still, seeing what he can do here. He's at plus 500, your second option for Comeback Player of the Year. But I think the head coach of the year is just really interesting. Belichick now your favorite, followed by Cliff Kingsbury, and then Matt LaFleur. And I would still put my money on Matt LaFleur at plus 600. Wish I did it at plus 1,800, but plus 600 I still think is good value because it's only going to go down, and I think the Packers are going to keep winning, and he's going to win this award. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You follow me on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. A big story in the NFL is that the Cowboys will be without their head coach, Mike McCarthy, for their Thursday game against the New Orleans Saints. Dan Quinn will fill in for McCarthy on Thursday. The line has moved down. The Cowboys are 4.5-point favorites at the Saints. Didn't move down that much from the open. The Cowboys did open this game as 5-point favorites down to 4.5. So not much movement there. The total goes down from 48 to 47.5. The other movements that we've seen so far this week is that Arizona opened up as a 7-point favorite over Chicago. They have moved to an 8-point favorite. Tampa Bay opened up at 9.5 against Atlanta. They're up to 11 over the Falcons. Indy opened up as 7 against Houston. They're up to 9 now against Houston. The other movements we have seen, Vegas was 1.5 over Washington, and it did get to 3 at a couple of books with Vegas as a 3-point favorite over Washington, and right now that's what it's at on DraftKings is Raiders minus 3 and Washington plus 3, but Washington plus 3 is at minus 115. You had the Rams opening up as a 12-point favorite over Jacksonville. They're up to 13. And other movements, KC was 9.5. It's at 10, so nothing big there. Buffalo has stayed at 3 over the Patriots, but I think that by the time we get to Monday Night Football, that line goes down. I think at 3, money comes in on the Patriots. And could there be a possibility of that line shifting to 2.5? I'll tell you right now, at DraftKings, the line is 2.5. But across the board in Vegas, I see Circa's got it at 3. I see, you know, Stations, Wynn, Westgate, all that. They all have it at 3. And it could change to 2.5. And I expect it to change to 2.5. That's the game of the week. That really is the game of the week. I think there'll be some pros versus Joes matchups this week in the NFL. Like I mentioned, Sunday Night Football, I think Kansas City will garner a lot of public support, but I think the Broncos will get a lot of sharp action. Other possible pros versus Joes matchup might be in the Washington-Vegas game to see where the line moves in that game. Other games don't really see much there. You have a lot of matchups this week in the NFL of, I don't want to say, you know, bad teams, but in terms of like playoff matchups. All right, so you got the Bucs against the Falcons. The Falcons, believe it or not, are still in the mix for a playoff spot at 5-6. Cardinals against the Bears. Bears are out of it. Chargers-Bengals is a good game and could determine the fate of both these teams. Vikings-Lions. Lions are winless. Giants-Dolphins. Neither of those teams are doing anything. Eagles-Jets, same thing. Don't think either of those teams are doing anything. Colts-Texans. Even though the Colts might have an outside shot to try and make some, you know, make the playoffs, but they're going to have to win out if they want to do that. Jaguars-Rams, that's one-sided. Ravens-Steelers is even one-sided. Now, if Pittsburgh pulls an upset, obviously it changes things in the AFC North, but Pittsburgh is just 5-5-1, and 49ers-Seahawks is two teams in opposite directions. In terms of those playoff standings, though, in the AFC, right now the Chargers are your 7th seed. Vegas is right there at 8. The Broncos are at 9. Those three teams are 6-5. The Chargers win the tiebreaker over Denver and Vegas based on divisional record. And Raiders have the tiebreaker over Denver on head-to-head win percentage. The Colts are your 10 seed at 6-6. They win the tiebreaker over Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh at 5-5-1 is the 11th seed. In the NFC, Washington is currently your 7th seed at 5-6. They win tiebreakers over Atlanta and Minnesota. Minnesota at 5-6 is your 8. Atlanta is 9 at 5-6. Then New Orleans at 10 at 5-6. San Francisco is 6-5 as the 6th seed. I expect them to move to 7-5 because they should beat the Seahawks, who are just not going in the right direction. Washington's going to be fun to watch, though, because I still think that there is a chance. And this NFL season has been completely upside down, so why not? But like I said, two games against the Cowboys, two games against the Eagles. They win those four games. I think even no matter what they do against the Raiders and the Giants, Washington could win this division. Now, especially if Dallas suffers a hiccup here against a desperate Saints team on Thursday night. And when you talk about desperate, I mean, this is a Saints team that has lost four straight games and is likely turning to Taysom Hill at quarterback. And if Taysom Hill's the starting quarterback against the Dallas Cowboys, watch the Saints win this game on Thursday. Then the NFC East gets really interesting. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is The Look Ahead here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The VSiN experts live and breathe sports betting, and we've assembled the best team here in Vegas, the gambling capital of the world. Our unique approach helps you learn how to become a better handicapper. We go beyond picks and predictions to discuss the numbers and discuss the numbers and discuss the numbers and discuss the numbers and discuss the numbers and